Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
Yay!
It's only been 2 weeks.
I'm proud of us.
I'm really proud of us. Yay us. It's like we just started. We already won.
I know. And I went on vacation. So this is like great. I mean, we're doing it.
We're doing it like we... Like you guys, this is really good. Like, will you give us a gold star?
Yeah, please.
Because we feel really good. So tell me about your vacation.
Oh my gosh. So we went to Disneyland with Rosalie.
I'm
and
jealous.
She's been before, but it was like the first time she's gone where she could remember it.
When was the last time you took her?
She went when she was 2.5.
So she's 3.5.
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
Well, almost 4. She's almost 4. So it was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But anyway, it was really fantastic. Except, okay, so this was funny. We were in line and I saw this group of young girls and an older woman. Mm-hmm. And they were all wearing these like homemade long denim skirts.
Huh. And they, how old were the girls?
Well, so the girls were probably like ages ranging from 12 to... probably 18, I would imagine. And then this young boy showed up and he was very clean cut with khaki pants and his polo shirt.
Just wait. Okay. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of you.
So they're homemade jean skirts. I'm like, Oh, and their hair was braided. They had these very intricate braids and... So I looked at Bobby and I said, I think that those are fundamentalist Mormons. Like, I've watched TV shows about them.
Yeah. You're like, I have seen this on TV.
I know them. and he said, oh. And then a little more time passed by because we were in line for a really long time. He's like, you know, the first time I came to Disneyland, it was, I don't know what they call it. It's like Pride or it's basically like LGBTQ
awareness
at Disneyland. Yeah. But I don't know what they actually call it.
Okay.
He's like, well, so I came here that day. I think today is the opposite of that. And I was like, what do you mean? Because he looked it up online and it was Mormon Day. I'm like,
they actually have Mormon Day?
Yes, they have Mormon Day at Disneyland.
Wow.
And so Bobby's like, well, the good news is the bars will be free. But we saw,
You see other, you know.
Okay. So what was funny is we have got one that we play with American flags, right?
Yeah.
So we made
The flag game.
We made up the new game of Got One, which is if you see a large white family with blonde hair and blue eyes
and braids and
not exposing shoulders or
homemade
legs,
clothing.
Yes. That you knew. And so we played that Got One. But then it got confusing because then we started to revert back to old Got One.
Yeah.
So then we had Got One OG. Huh. But then it changed. Then it throughout the day, it changed into Got One Old School, Got One New School.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So I think all of our 10 or 11 listeners know what the flag game is.
Yeah, I think so. But you can read.
Okay. So it's like if you are out at a public crowded event, you will inevitably usually Disneyland, State Fair, this game originated for Corey and I in Las Vegas on the 4th of July. So a crowded public space where suddenly you realize that a lot of people are wearing their best flag shirts. And it started
It started
way back in 2001, pre-9/11, and everybody was wearing Old Navy flag shirts. And so that was the original Got One game.
Yes.
But it's obviously evolved over the years. And now we have like all these weird
tattoos.
We have all these weird intricate rules that we make up on the spot and that we break. And it is really the best game ever to play, especially at the fair.
It is. And I actually took a photo for you at Disneyland and sent it to you of a
did.
Got One. The guy was like wearing a hat with American flag sunglasses on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about.
I just highly recommend that everybody play this game and then create your own variations of it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was necessary to have the Mormon Got One game.
Yeah.
But Disneyland was great. So Rosalie is 40 inches tall and most of the rides require her to be 40 inches tall.
Uh-huh.
So my husband, I love him dearly,
but
he took her on Splash Mountain. So we asked her first. We had her look at the ride, see them all come down the mountain. She said she wanted
to
go.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby said he took her on the ride, and about the middle of the ride, he realized he'd done the wrong thing.
Oh.
Because there was some like little drops or bumps. She goes, I don't like this ride very much. There are too many bumps.
Oh.
And so Bobby's like, I don't know how to tell you this.
We just can't. Excuse me, can you?
But there's about to be a really big one.
Oh.
So she got off that ride. She did not like it. So we realized that just because she's tall enough doesn't mean she's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel her. I feel her.
We went to this Frozen dinner, though. So we got her. So I had this all planned out. I was going to win, like, the Mom of the Year award. So I took her to the Anna and Elsa boutique. I got her the Elsa coronation hairstyle and makeup job.
Oh, that's when her hair was done up. I saw the picture. She looks so cute.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Elsa's coronation hair. I bought her a new Elsa dress. So the idea was we're going to do that, take her to the fancy restaurant, the Carthay Circle, and they have this Frozen package. So we're going to have her get in her coronation outfit, go to this fancy, fancy lunch, which was $80 a person, by the way.
Oh my God.
That'll come into play in just a second.
Okay.
So then, and then go to the Frozen Theater. So it would be like she was Anna or Elsa having this fancy day getting to go see the show.
Yeah.
But she throws this tantrum at the end of the dinner, and we didn't even get to have the dessert in the, the restaurant. Like, it just, nothing went right.
Well, she is barely, not even 4 yet.
And she was sick, too, actually. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
But then we went to the play, and it was amazing.
That's a lot of stimulation, too. A lot of activity.
And that was after, like, the day before, 13 hours of just nonstop
I would probably, you know, to be fair, I'd probably throw a tantrum as well.
I, you and I have before.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I have a history.
So you have a trip coming up?
Yeah, I just booked a trip. A trip I'm taking by myself. I am taking the train to Chicago.
Oh.
And yeah, I'm taking Amtrak to Chicago. I'm going to use the time to write on the train. So
awesome.
That's like a little over 2 days. And then I'm going to be in Chicago for 2 days. And I'm just going to be a tourist, I guess. Like, I'll be there for 48 hours.
Okay.
And then I'm
That's enough time to eat some bad food.
Yeah, I figured sometime I'm going to go to a museum, walk around parks, like, just be like, you know, the weird single lady tourist in the city. I don't know. And then I'm going to take the train up across the northern U.S. and to Portland, I think.
Oh.
And then come down from Portland. So I'm going to be gone for a week.
Good job. When are you doing that?
I leave June 2nd.
Oh, darn it. You're going to miss Bobby's parents. Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. I didn't plan it that way, but... Yeah, I'm going to be gone. So I'm just going to take a trip by myself, which I really need right now. So
I am so excited
and I'm just,
for you.
I'm going to write. So that's the whole point of it, is that I'll just be on my laptop on the train and hoping, you know, I say hoping that not too many weird people talk to me, but I always like, there's always like cool weird people that you talk to on the train. And then there's like the weird people where you're like, I just need to go find another car to sit in.
The something's not right crowd.
Well, so the first time I did a trip like this, I had done a road trip with some friends to Chicago. And then I decided to take the train back by myself because I'm a weirdo. I like to be by myself. I'm very solitary, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm strange like that.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm strange like that. That's fine. I'm proud of it. I own it. But so I took this, when I took the train from Chicago to Sacramento, that time, it was actually 2001. I got on the train in Chicago and there was nobody sitting next to me. We're still in the station. And then like right before the train boarded, like started to leave, I saw this guy walking down the aisle of the train. He was this big lumbering guy. Sort of this like really square Frankenstein-ish head.
Oh, and sounds lovely.
looked a little worse for what wear. And I remember thinking, God, I hope he doesn't sit by me. God, I hope he doesn't sit by me. So you know how the story ends.
Yeah.
He sat down next to me. He sits down next to me and he like turns to me and he goes, hi, my name is Jim and I'm going to talk your ear off all the way to Reno.
Oh my God.
Like he literally just set it up. He's like, you are trapped and I'm not going to stop talking. And then he took out these gambling, like these poker chip type things or like casino chips. And he was telling me that he was going to Reno to become a dealer and he was practicing using the chips. So he had like the tray down from the seat before him and he just kept moving the chips around over and over again.
You need to learn sign language. So next time that happens, you could just
like sign, like pretend I don't. Well, when he told me that he was going to talk my ear off all the way to Reno, I said, that's fine, but I probably won't talk a lot in return.
Wait, I've got to revise that next time. That's all right, because I probably won't listen.
Yeah. He eventually found another victim. Like, he eventually, like, moved. Well, here's the thing. He moved two seats behind me, I think, and ended up spending most of the train ride talking to this young Christian woman who was talking about her faith and everything, and she was, like, a preschool teacher. and he was not. I mean, it was like weird, like this weird
conversation
bond.
Sounds horrible.
It was, and I guess I could have just moved cars, but on the other hand, I was like, I don't have to have a conversation with him, but I can listen to this conversation and take it all in. And so it's kind of like I get the benefit of soaking in his,
weirdness.
And there's things I'm not even telling you that he said that was really scary.
Ooh, like what?
Weird, like, things about premarital sex and diseases and stuff. So anyway, I got to listen to this conversation, but about halfway through the trip, he just kind of forgot about me.
God.
So that's what I'm sort of like. There's always cool people that you meet, and then there's always the gyms of the world.
The talk your ears off. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you.
I'm excited too.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of people who talk too much and
should shut up.
So Mike Huckabee, right?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
On Cinco de Mayo.
Like,
can it get worse than a Taco Bowl?
Right. You think it can't get worse than Trump's Taco Bowl tweet, but his was.
It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to drink a jar of salsa.
Watch
Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And just be a stupid prick.
Like, wear a poncho. Like, what was he saying?
It was something like that.
It was moronic.
He is moronic. I mean, I genuinely, regardless of what your political leanings are, it's like, how do you look at somebody like that and just think, oh, there's an upstanding citizen who represents people or represented people in a political district. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what your political leanings are.
Is it not that hard to become a politician?
Apparently not.
Is there something I'm missing? Like,
apparently not. I don't think that there's like a, I don't think there's an IQ test that you have to pass. I don't think there's like a social skills thing.
So,
look at our president. Why are we even asking this question?
Well, the good news is, so I was, you know, we talked last time about how it seems as if most of the world leaders right now are out of their minds.
Yeah.
France, thank you.
Thank you, France. Vive la France.
Doing the world a solid.
Yeah, thank you. I drink this white wine for you tonight.
Yes.
They got it right.
Where's Pinot Grigio from? Isn't it Italian?
Might be, but... The French right now is, we're congratulating them. They're like, what kind of wine are you drinking? Wait, is that a French accent?
No. That was Putin. But maybe, I don't know. But whatever it is. Thanks, whatever it is,
the French are looking down their nose at us. Yes. Of course, we did not elect the idiot.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks, France.
Yeah, thanks, France.
Because right now, so I'm in Disneyland, and I was not checking the news quite as much. I wasn't listening to my morning show. But I knew that things were happening with it. So it's the American Healthcare Act. Is that
whatever.
They're
calling
it? Trump Care. I knew that Trump Care was passing, and you and I are, I'm concerned. I don't think it will go through the Senate, but you think you're concerned?
I don't know. I am not, you know, I didn't think Trump would be elected. And so I this bill is so awful. The whole pre-existing condition thing and the Medicaid, you know, cutting Medicaid. I can't believe that any person with a conscience would say this is a good health care, that this is better than Obamacare. Like, the only reason why it's going to save more money is because more people are going to die.
Exactly.
You know, and that's just not conscionable.
Well, like, what was it? A congressman from Idaho tonight, I read that to you, and they asked about people dying. He said, well, people don't die from a lack of care, or something to that effect.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what happens.
Back to that IQ test for politicians. Like, yeah. Lack of healthcare access. You know, and what's going to happen is, pre the Affordable Care Act, you know, pre-Obamacare, a lot of people were forced to use the emergency room as their primary source of health care. Now I feel like we're going to go, but that's obviously not a very solid option if you have cancer, if you have like some sort of chronic debilitating disease.
When I wasn't working, when I was not working, I was taking care of Rosalie. Yeah. Bobby's not able to get health care through his employer.
Yeah.
If it were not for Obamacare, we would have been absolutely
screwed. Did you guys
use
Obamacare?
Yeah, we absolutely
did. I don't think I knew that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we did. And it was the most amazing thing ever. And every time I'd hear somebody complain about it, it was like, what are you talking about? Like, we would be so screwed right now.
I wish that we had had that option. Like, so the main reason that Corey and I got married when we did
Was because of health insurance?
Because it was of health insurance. We'd been together.
Oh, well, that's so romantic.
I know, right? I mean, it is. It actually is. I mean, we had been together a year and a half. We knew we were engaged at that point. We hadn't set a date. We hadn't even been talking about. We just knew that we were going to get married, but we hadn't talked about the details. And at the time I was unemployed. And I tried to get health care, and because I'd been treated for depression, I had a really hard time getting anything that I could remotely afford. I mean, I was unemployed. It was like I didn't have a lot of money to spend.
It's more than a house payment.
You know, it was really
for bad coverage.
It was like really cost prohibitive for me to get health insurance because I had actually been proactive and had tried to do something to take care of myself. I just still remember getting the letter from Kaiser denying me or denying me sort of their basic coverage and kicking me up into this bracket that was just beyond our reach financially. And so that was the point we sat down and said, okay, well, if we get married, you can go on my health insurance. And so even though it's like, it doesn't sound romantic, but at the same time, it was like a commitment to each
Actually,
other.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. It's like, we committed to each other in a way that like goes beyond like the ceremony of it all. But it's like, that's what we were, you know, I used the word forced sort of sarcastically, but we were forced to do that because otherwise I wouldn't have had health care.
Yeah, that's so
helpful.
Screw all of you GOP motherfuckers. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, and you know what? Let's be honest. The ACA, it does need work.
It
does.
No, absolutely. It's not perfect. There's clearly room for improvement, but it's a much better model and base than what they're proposing.
Well, and then when Trump met Prime Minister or President of Australia?
Prime Minister, yeah.
I have a really hard time.
I know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway, but he complimented their health care.
Right.
Like, that's actually universal health care, you dipshit.
Yeah, you fuckwad. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, I'm mad.
Why are you telling me sorry? Are you apologizing to 11 people listening?
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys. If you haven't figured it out by now, I like to swear a lot. I'm always apologizing to my students. I try not to swear so much. But then at a certain point, I'm like, you guys, come on.
Well, I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
We'll talk about my potty mouth.
So, you know, the election in Trump caused a rift between my little brother and I sent him a text that night that we had the argument, and he never wrote me back, and I was really, really sad. And so I think a couple months had gone by, and I hadn't heard anything, and it was bothering me. So I decided I needed to make another attempt,
because
I couldn't just, you know...
Because he's your brother and you love him.
Well, of course. And plus, you know, he's not only is he my brother, but he's Rosalie's uncle. Like, there's more, you know, there's more than me.
And that's that's very important.
So I wrote Rosalie's uncle. And I told him, I said, you know, I thought we just got in a silly online argument. I said, I don't feel like I owe you an apology because I used the same language and tone that you used. And I don't expect an apology from you. Mm-hmm. So, but I do expect you to get over it. And interact with me.
and
I told, and I loved him, and he wrote back, and I think it was funny the way he wrote, what did he write? Something like heard or noted or something like that. And I love you too. So
Dylan, I love you.
So I guess we made it up. And I love my brother dearly.
I love your brother. So I want you guys to,
but we're still not friends on Facebook, and it's for the best.
You know, it's probably for the best.
I think we're just going to have to be siblings in real life and not
on
the internet.
That's fine. You know, I saw my Trump voting brother yesterday and he was on good behavior. And I think that my sister-in-law had something to do with that.
Oh, good.
Harry and I had this conversation that, you know, like my sister-in-law sort of preps him for family encounters.
Well, to be fair, I think Bobby does that for me.
Like, I just don't agree with my brother's politics at all, but I love my brother dearly. And, you know, I it's hard for me to look at him and go, I can't stereotype him like I probably stereotype a lot of other Trump voters and supporters. And so I think it's important to have people in your family who are real humans to you, that you know their complexities, and you know that they're good people, and politics is just shitty.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
So if I can
politics
leave,
by Rachel.
If I can just leave the world with one takeaway message, politics is shitty. Politics are shitty. Oh God.
Well, no. So I take great issue with this. It actually is politics is shitty. But it seems as if it should be politics are shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
But politics is a singular.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I have a hard time with that. I have a really hard... There's a few other things.
These are the kind of things I'll lay in bed at night thinking about.
Well, okay. So...
Seriously.
So when I listen to my special new show I listen to in the morning, they've been saying politics is, and for a second it's like, oh, that just doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. It's so weird. I think I might be an old lady or something. Okay. I don't know. It's this woman. Her name is Stephanie Rule, and she's on MSNBC in the morning, and okay. I like love her.
But why does it make you an old lady?
Because I like...
Because you have your show?
Yeah, because I have my show.
Welcome to old ladyhood.
But so the other day, right, they're talking about the... on Friday, they had this guy on, I think from Athena Healthcare, and he came on to talk about the Affordable Health Care Act or Trump Care. And she said, well, this could keep... employers could... not hire women because they could become pregnant and become more of a liability or cost them more. And she said, you know, but basically, like, what do you think of that? And the guy said, well, any company that's not going to hire a woman and miss out on talent like that is just a shitty company. I was like, oh. And this is why I'm an old lady, because I was like, oh, Stephanie's not going to have that.
And did she?
Oh, no, she was not having that. So speaking of tough ladies
reading and language, and salty language.
So you got your review.
Well,
recently.
This is my first semester teaching, and I have to get reviewed once. So I have to get reviewed once a year for 4 years before I have tenure. But the fun part of this is because I was hired in the spring, you also technically have to be reviewed your first semester. So my official tenure clock doesn't start until the fall, but I still had to get reviewed this spring. So I have to get reviewed 4.5 times.
Double duty.
Right.
Oh, wait. Quadruple duty.
Well, no. So I get reviewed. So I'll have every fall for the next 4 years, starting in the fall, I'll get a review. But I got reviewed this spring, but it doesn't count. So it won't go in my official file, which is kind of weird. But it's sort of like the way that I was talking to one of my mentors about it was like, well, it's sort of like a starter review, like kind of
practice.
Yeah, practice. And but anyway, it went really well. Like I got reviewed in 3 classes, you have 3 different people on your peer review team, 3 other, like 2 professors and a dean. So they come to your class and then they write up this sheet, whatever, talking about how you interacted with the students, you know, talking about the syllabus and just how the class was broken down. And then you have student evaluations that they have to do at the end of that class.
Wait, did profanity come up?
Well, no, actually, it didn't come up as something that I kind of was waiting, like, I do cuss a lot, but we're all adults there.
Ms. LeBrock says the F word at least five times per class.
I don't, maybe once, but you know, we're all adults. We're all at least 18 or over. So I try to tell myself, I don't want to just drop the F bomb incessantly, but if I do drop it, I'm not going to freak out. But no, what was funny is, so all of my reviews from my peers were really positive, and then I don't actually see the student evaluations until the summer, because obviously they don't want the chance that I see something and that would affect how I gave a grade that I gave somebody. But in one of the reviews that the dean wrote up, so she wrote a review of the class that she observed, and she included excerpts from the student evaluations. And one of my students, so my dean wrote, I think this is the first time I have ever seen on a student evaluation, a student write, LeBrock is the fucking bee's niece.
Oh, my.
And I just started dying because, first of all, I'm like, I can't. First of all, I'm like, well, yeah, actually, I could see one of my students doing that. And then second of all, my dean is like so polished and professional that for her to write that on the review was pretty hilarious. But either way, I was like, okay, I feel so relieved, because getting reviewed and, you know, like teaching for an hour and a half in a class and having somebody stare at you and take notes the whole time is like mind-bogglingly just like, it's very unnerving to know that they're sitting back there. They're literally just taking notes the whole time. And then you get this like review that breaks down your entire class.
Yes. Yeah. So actually that happens to me at work. I'll be because I'll be doing my training, and all of a sudden, like, either my counterpart will come in or my manager, and they'll just sit down with a notepad and start writing notes. And I'm like, oh my God. And they'll like scribble furiously. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. So then after everyone leaves, I'm like, okay, is everything okay here? Like, did I do it right? They're like, oh yeah, is this taking notes of things to add into training? I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like, because I thought you were telling me I was awful.
Yeah, it's really just unsettling when you're like, you're sort of like, everything okay?
Yeah.
Did you understand what I said?
Or sometimes they'll just come in to spy too. Yeah. Not even on me, just to see what's going on.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Which I do it too, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I get to next semester, I think, do some peer reviews. So that's going to be interesting.
It's fun. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Unless you have somebody that's awful, it's really fun.
Yeah. No, and it's a good way. It's actually like my peer review team is really good. And like, it's a chance to kind of build relationships and you get constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I want to be as good of a teacher as possible. So if there's insight into that, then that's valuable to me. And plus, I just like hearing that my students think I'm the fucking bee's knees.
So I got, I recently got feedback for a presentation from my peer, my like she's my partner, I suppose. Uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, you sway back and forth when you talk. And so now every time I'm like in front of people, I'm like, oh God, am I doing it? So I like try to freeze. And I'm like, well, that looks weird. But yes, it's unnerving to have people.
And then have them like document it.
Yeah. 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 Well, the writing part, especially when you don't know that it's either coming or what they're saying. But if they're saying effing bee's knees, your students like you.
I think so. So far, so good.
Yeah. I think you're okay. I like you.
Aw, so that's
I give you an A+.
I'm gonna go tell my dean that.
Yeah, your friend review is very good.
Sweet. we should like invent ratemyfriends.com.
Oh my, we'll talk about this later.
Okay.
You're giving away the secrets, Rachel. That's really a good idea. Actually, no, it's not. It's a terrible idea. Think about it.
It's very mean girl. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Well, sorry.
Think about all the things that could happen. We could break up
for like a hot second. It was a good idea, and then the implications sunk in, and I was like, oh.
So it's funny is we started the show, and I hadn't had very much boxed wine, and now that I have, I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And it's like, well, actually, if it were the beginning of the show, yeah.
No. Sorry, never mind. Strike that idea. But if you steal that idea, I want like 50% of the
please.
Cut.
Please. So we had a honey festival in Woodland yesterday. Uh-huh. And so we took Rosalie because we knew there was going to be a bee there.
Oh, speaking of bees.
And so it was really funny. Bobby and I were trying to tell her about the honey festival. Uh-huh. And she said, are there going to be bees there? And so we mess with her a lot. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, there's going to be a bee petting zoo. And so I thought she was gonna either think mommy was crazy or say something, but she said, oh, and mean dogs. I'm like, oh my God, not only did she get my joke, she added on to it.
She's
and like
pretty
perfectly
sharp. She's pretty sharp and she tells jokes too. She's she's a little clown sometimes.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, mean dogs. Is really funny because like, yeah, well, of course at a bee petting zoo, there's going to be mean dogs.
Mean dogs and stingers, bee stingers. Yeah, okay, so I have to apologize for it because I keep clearing my throat. But that leads me to this other thing I wanted to tell you. So, you know how I always complain about like people at the gym?
Yes.
Yes. So.
Oh, wait. How you always complain? Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously. So I go to a different yoga studio than my gym. And I love the yoga studio and I love my yoga instructor. She's super cool, chill, like not, it's not high pressure, like super skilled yoga.
It's not high pressure yoga?
No. Well, you know, there's not the pressure to like, I've been to yoga classes where it's like the most complicated poses and like how long you can hold it and like everybody is kind of trying to out-acrobat each other. Okay. This is gentle yoga. It's basically a lot of stretching and balancing. So it just kind of, it's super chill and meditative. It's relaxing, usually.
Okay.
So I went there yesterday morning and I had just gotten up. I was like, I'd only been awake for about a half hour. I go in there. I'm like, I hadn't had enough water to drink. So I kept clearing my throat. I was feeling really bad about it. Like when I first got there and then this woman came in and she was bringing her sister who was in a wheelchair. So yeah. So
you said, yeah, but nobody could see my face.
Yeah. Well, I know. Right. But the woman gave me a look. So yeah. So this woman who has been to that class before was in a wheelchair. She had done something to hurt her foot. And this, so this yoga class is like, you can be in a wheelchair and go do this yoga class.
That's great.
Like the instructor will be like, okay, here, I'm going to work with you. And then this is what you're going to do instead. It's awesome.
So she has like modifications.
Yeah. And it's awesome. I love it. But so the sister, like, everybody in that class is super chill and nice and gentle, but the sister, I think, had not been to the class before. So before the class starts, she comes barreling into the room and she's like, you've got to open up the side door. And my yoga instructor was like, oh, okay, yeah, let me go open up the side door so we can get the wheelchair in. So she kind of like barked at her a little bit. That's fine. But then like,
wait, let me ask you a question. Was the side door normally opened and this time it wasn't?
This time it's never opened.
Okay.
But so they needed to open it. So that was fine. It was just sort of, I was just sort of like, maybe a please would be nice.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of please. Anyway, meantime, I'm still clearing my throat. I'm feeling bad. Cause I don't want to go through the whole class being disruptive and like kind of taking away from somebody else's experience. And so then right as the class gets started, we're in constructive rest, we're on our backs. It's very peaceful. You hear the water fountain, you know, it's like, it's early morning. And all of a sudden you hear beep, beep. So somebody's phone is like, it's like a more of a ding, actually a ding.
Okay.
Ding. Just like that. And I'm like, okay. And the first I'm like, oh shit, I hope that's not my phone. Like, no, I put it into like sleep mode. Keeps going. Finally it stops. Then, about halfway through the class, the phone goes off again. But this time, it's like in the alarm sound. It's like,
worst.
It's like the tune that I use to wake up with my phone. It's like, and it keeps going. And everybody looks around, and the yoga instructor is like, "Is that somebody's phone?" And I'm like, "We're all looking at it." Right, we're all looking at each other, and then finally, the woman, the sister, is like, "Oh, that's mine. Somebody's calling me." My yoga instructor's like, "Oh, you want to take a moment to go take care of that?" And the woman goes, "No, they'll leave a message." And it keeps ringing.
Stop.
Until the point where the woman in the wheelchair, the other sister, has to go because she's closest to the phone. She has to reach into the bag, find it, mess with it, try to turn the phone off. It's still blaring.
Stop.
Finally, the sister runs across the room. "Oh, it's Andrea."
Andrea.
Fucking Andrea. And it's just like, and in the meantime, I'm like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to keep coughing.
You're like, maybe do a little coach's Kleenex on the floor. Right. Like, who cares?
I was like, oh my God. Turn off your damn phone.
Wow.
Yeah. I just like it. Yeah, you want to take a moment to shut it off? No.
You should have said, tell Andrea to call back later. Yeah.
Tell Andrea to fuck off.
Oh my God.
So that was my experience.
Yeah. That's
not very relaxing.
No. Yeah. Not very. You know, so at Disneyland, I can't even tell you how many rides either stopped in the middle and lights turned on. Because some little MRFer was like touching the sides, and like we had to get escorted out of two rides.
Really?
Yeah, where they come get
like they stopped the rides and they had to escort you out.
Come escort us out. Well, actually, I think we only got escorted off of one ride, but we witnessed another ride where people got escorted off.
Okay.
And it was a ride that we waited in line for 40 minutes, and then
people are jerks.
I know.
Some people are jerks. Too many people are jerks.
Too many people. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Okay. I got one more story. Sorry.
Okay.
So, we're in line to meet Minnie Mouse, right? Rosalie's super excited. We're the next family in line. So, ahead of us is these two millennial girls. Mm-hmm. And they were wearing homemade Disney outfits.
Huh.
And they brought Minnie Mouse gifts. Had to take several photos. And they had to, like, homemade ear, like they just were, and they had these bags, and so they kept bringing out gifts to give to Minnie and like take pictures with her.
What kind of gifts?
I don't even like Minnie Mouse dolls and stuff. It was really weird. And so the
here, I'm going to give you a small doll of yourself.
Yeah. And so the handler, you know, they always have a handler. So the handler is like, "I'm really, really sorry. Minnie will be available shortly." And he like kind of rolled his eyes in a Disney way. Because you know how they're like so polite and professional there? But we definitely got an eye roll.
You definitely got the subversive eye roll.
And the people behind us were like, "What the F?" And there's like, you know, like the guy behind us had like a tattoo on his face or something. I'm like, "Oh, this guy's not messing around. Oh, like, you girls better get out of here."
Do not get between the tattooed face guy and Minnie Mouse.
Like, it was serious. But anyway. Anyway, that was amusing.
Wow.
Yeah. Just speaking of inconsiderate people, and these girls were like probably like 25.
But they knew better.
They knew better
than to get, you know, you got this little girl waiting.
Yes.
To, yeah.
They were just trying to find like every Instagram pose that they could.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, there's always that.
But you still had fun.
Oh my God, we had the best.
Yeah.
We needed to go on a vacation. But it's so funny because Bobby's like, "Oh, next year we're going to do this. We're gonna fly down." I'm like, "Next year we're going to Hawaii. Like, we're not going to Disneyland every vacation." We got to make some other plans.
Are you going to Hawaii next year?
I say that. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see, you know, what the Jordan finances look like.
Yeah.
But that'd be nice. We had fun in Hawaii together. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that you want to go?
I'm not trying to horn in on your vacation. I know this gets a little awkward, but I'm not trying to horn in on your vacation. But my eyebrows raised. I was like, come on.
I mean, if you are, that's fine. Like, you know, of who else would I ask?
I don't know. I'm just like, I'm being rude. I'm like, so who's going with you?
So what are you guys doing that? Because I think we're free.
Yeah. So I was going to go on rateyourfriend.com and leave a rating for you.
Oh my God. Good callback, Rachel. That was impressive.
Just saying.
Well, I guess all we have left is credits, because right. That was pretty good.
Okay, so thanks for listening, everybody. Good Girls Don't was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock. It was engineered, I think, by Paloma Jordan with a side hustle by
tonight.
Bobby Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Child care provided, as usual, by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick, and the Frozen Castle.
Yes,
which is pretty awesome.
Castle.
You guys should check that out. Pops up. catering provided by Jim Boys again, and refreshments again, Target boxed wine.
I don't know why I can't lose weight.
On that note, hopefully we can do this again in another week or two.
Yes,
yeah, we're
doing
roll.
So well.
We're on a roll.
Proud of
all
us.
All right, bye, all you right. guys.
Goodbye.
Good night.